Wednesdays with Wally is presented by Deltec Timber Corporation, the developer of Little Rock's Chenal Valley and Red Oak Ridge in Hot Springs. Learn more at chenal.com. It's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talks, picking it up. Let's go ahead and see anyway. He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still even him starstruck. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from writing rats.
All right, welcome back. It is hour two, 11:07. Let me get Savage in here, and we're going to pick back up with a conversation we had before the top of the hour because Pat had a brilliant point he was about to make, but he got cut off by the heartbreak, heartbreak. So you callers, you thought you were the only ones to get cut off by the heartbreak. No, sometimes we do too. What's up, Savage?
What's up, Justin?
How are you, buddy?
Oh, doing good. Is Wallace still around there?
Yes, he'll be here all day, well, till 11.
I'm here, sir.
12.
Hey, Wallace, you know, all the national championships through the past in basketball, most all go through the point guard. Sabazz, Napier, you know, Connecticut's had Kimball Walker, Corey Beck. The point guards we got up there, I know Madden, I think he played in that position, but do you see these point guards that we got up there potentially being able to run this team and take us pretty deep in this tournament?
You know, they're going to have to play a lot early. They've got to get some experience because they're freshmen. But, yes, I think they've helped themselves at the point guard. This is going to allow Kai Madden to move back to his natural position, which is kind of a swing two.
Pat, what do you think? You've seen him?
Yeah, well, there's no question. Yeah, Madden is, by nature, he's a guy that has always grown up with the basketball.
With the ball, yes.
So, you know, whether you put him at the one, the two, the three, he has his strength, and he should be able to learn how to play without it. But his strength is a guy who gets the ball, and he's handling it, and he makes things happen. I mean, that's just who he is by nature.
I've always thought his strength was getting to the hoop.
Oh, there's no question. He's a guy that, you know, one thing I always see him when I call him a stat sheet stuffer. I mean, it's just that's how he grew. You know, I mean, he's handled the ball as a 6'3", 6'4" guy. So I don't know if you can take that away from him this year. I know they'll probably encourage him to do so because you do have Jabril Durham, Durham, and Anton Beard. So you would like it, but the reality of the situation is we don't have Sabazz Napier on the team, and we don't have any of those other All-American type point guards right now. So it's going to be tough.
But I agree
those
with
guys.
But we do got. I mean, Anton—he's a winner, though.
There's no question he's a winner. But Sabazz Napier's a first-team All-American guy.
But I do agree that your success goes through the point guard.
But didn't he play behind Kemba Walker, though, before he even came in?
Kemba was another guy. And listen, he'll get there. But don't forget, these other national championship teams, if you look at them, they had big bodies, too. You know, you're talking about elite in the country. You got to have both. Certainly the point guard is so important. But one thing about Mike Anderson's system, it was much like Coach Richardson's. Yes, you do need that point guard and half court to set things up for you defensively and offensively. But if you're running that fast break, you don't have to slow it down and get it to one guy. That's the one advantage of not.
And also in that system, Pat, when you get to the tournament, you're likely going to face your first two opponents are not ready for that speed.
Absolutely.
Right. I get off here. Who's the sixth man you think that, you know, could be the possible game changer coming in, just take that load off, come in and shoot? I know Bell comes in and starts hitting threes, but who else do you think might come off and just contribute right away? I'll get off here. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Better be them fans in the stands, Pat Bradley.
He said making shots.
Yeah, they've got to get more consistent.
You don't have
that's
to have
it,
a shot maker to win games.
Well, that's what I was telling Justin when I went on Sunday and saw them. You got guys like Landis Harris and Michael Qualls. We've seen their flashes of all SEC. I mean, you know that they've got it. It's just bringing it night in and night out. Same with Anthon Bell.
Play after play after play after
you know, that,
play.
That's the thing that's challenged with those guys. I mean, they're good enough.
Bell needs to be shooting about 200 threes a day after practice.
Telling
don't you
me,
think?
Brother. Yes, absolutely. No question.
Because he's got the shot.
He's shown us. Right? What do you have, seven? I think he said NIT, a Razorback NIT record with 7 threes.
Mm. Made you jealous, didn't it? Just
yeah, because he broke mine 6. I had 6. And that's it. So being wiped away as if
your records are just
I
slowly eroding.
Well, when Dusty gets up there, he's going to do.
He's not going to be there long enough, is he?
Dusty Hannes?
2 years?
Yeah, he won't have any career stuff, but I could see him.
Well, he have 3 years? He'll have 3 years.
Two, right? Two, yeah.
He played two and then redshirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Played for two different coaches.
I can see him setting the single season 3-point record of like 110, 115 in that style, where I think Scotty or Rodney has it now at like 102 or something like that, 105. I could see Dusty hit, doing that.
Did you think you were a better shooter than Rodney?
Whew, that's tough. I give it to Rodney. You know what? Starvin' Marvin Delph, baby. Best shooter of all time.
Couple football notes, if we might.
Short kick. Corliss takes it at the 3. Out over the 10 to the 15 to the 20. He's got a seam. Marshall at the 40, and there he goes. The 40, the 30, the 20. Corliss to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 97 yards. Marshall stays in at the tailback spot. Chris Jones is in the game. Fullback out of DeQueen. They give it on a delay to Corliss. Corliss at the 25 to the 20, outside of the 15 to the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Arkansas! Corliss Marshall, 27 yards. Henson on to attempt the extra point. Good snap.
That was
good
back
hold.
Early in the season
it's
when we were, for
14.
No apparent reason, putting extra points on our highlights. I have no idea. But anyway, Corliss Marshall is back, everybody. That's the big news. Corliss Marshall returns to Arkansas, and he will be playing in the LSU game at 7 o'clock on November 15th. Coach Bielema says, got fresh legs, looked really nice out there today. It felt good to have him out there back with us. Obviously, not just from a running back standpoint, but from a return game standpoint, so good news there. And as we pointed out earlier in the game, or the show, rather, he is something that's sorely missing as far as kick return goes. So good to see. That was the big news.
Hey, you want to talk about a playmaker, right? Getting his hands, letting him do something with it.
You were trying to keep him in school. You were trying to keep him from graduating early.
Let's just hope he's been working out for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess he hadn't been sitting around for too long.
Let me quickly address what that emailer had said about the dress code, because professional dress code, okay, and this is something that we had in the D-League, was implemented by David Stern. The NBA still has it. You can go on the website right now. Excluded items. Sleeveless shirts, shorts, T-shirts, excluded items, sunglasses while indoors. So when you see these guys walk from pregame, walk
remind
from
everybody
the bus,
what we were talking about for those who just caught it.
It was, I guess somebody, I didn't realize this, but when the football team makes the walk from the bus to the arena.
Yeah, stadium.
The stadium, the kids have on their headphones.
And sometimes some of the coaches do too.
And the coaches do too. That is... I know it's against the NBA dress code policy. It says it right. The headphones are prohibited other than on the team bus or plane or in the team locker room. And when we were trying to enforce our rules with the D-League, you couldn't wear T-shirts. The only thing you could wear other than a collared shirt was team-issued sweat. So most professional, and that's the reason why when you see guys like that, I'll give an example. The NFL came out where you can't wear Beats by Dre headphones, you got to wear Bose headphones. Well, guys still do that, and you know what they accept? The fine.
Yeah, so when they put tape over the Bose.
And they do. So, and also, the other thing that is prohibited, you can't walk into the arena with gold chain or any kind of silver chain, any chain showing above your shirt, over your shirt. It's got to be tucked in. So when you see guys dressed like that, they will be fined, but they pay the fine. So yeah, headphones, professionally, you're not supposed to walk with them over your ears.
You know, here's my only question, and I'm with Justin. I don't like it that the players do that for a 2-minute walk. But if every other school is allowing it, then you got to do it for recruiting purposes.
Not every other school has you walking through your fans, though, before
Alabama
the game.
Alabama does.
I'm not saying no schools do. I said not every other school. My point is, if you're going to have the group walk through your fan base who have spent their time to get their early tailgate set up and make their way up there to stand in line to watch you walk through, you need to acknowledge them, and wearing headphones and looking straight ahead and getting in the quote-unquote zone ain't the way to do it.
I got caught in Alabama one time, and I had to wait for the walk.
For all the deals, yeah.
Because the press box was on the other side of the walk.
Oh, I'd be willing to bet more often than not SEC schools walk through their fans before a game.
I don't remember, but one thing I did notice that was really impressive. Guess who brings up the rear? All the recruits visiting that day.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But there's a reason why this is implemented in a professional sports league. There's a reason why they prohibit headphones.
Because what's it about?
It's about the appearance and the image, and you walking from your team, but you can wear them a team. A second you take it off, just put it around your neck. And that's the engagement part. That's why they have it there, because folks are watching you. Cameras are there.
And it's about engaging your fans.
It is. That's and there's a reason why they do that.
And people don't get there early and line up to watch you listen to music.
Right.
No. And let me tell you something. If you can't... People are shocked when I tell them the kind of music I used to listen to before games. It was the most calming, peaceful. It wasn't any kind of rah-rah type stuff, because that's only going to last you a couple minutes.
Right.
That's what I tell everybody. It was just stuff to kind of calm you down because you're so anxious.
I'm with you. Ice Cube lasts you 2 minutes. Tchaikovsky lasts a lifetime.
That's it, man.
Tell him, Pat.
Just cool, relax, calm, take care of business. Like the assassin.
Did you ever lose a little Miles Davis?
Oh, yeah. I would have. I would have. I guarantee you that.
Did you have a pregame superstition?
It was more routine. Same socks, same... I wore shorts under my shorts.
Food?
I would always light one match.
What'd you eat?
You'd light one match.
Well,
you know... That was in the bathroom.
Yeah, in the bathroom. And then I'd...
What'd you eat?
And I'd burn one leg hair with the match.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Every time.
Pat!
And I got the match
from... And you said you didn't have any superstitions.
The away hotel. I don't know. I guess you just get bored. It was weird stuff.
We just found out that Pat burned himself before games.
No, my hair.
Is this a sexual thing?
My hair. Did you have a pregame routine? I mean, food-wise?
Food-wise?
Or did it just vary? Because on the road, you probably didn't get the same deal every time, right?
Typically, no. I would usually go club sandwich. When I was on the road, club sandwich.
Couple
love a club.
Couple SEC football notes here, if I could. We've been talking about Brandon Allen a lot, probably a lot more than anybody wants to hear about. But I was looking through some of the latest numbers in the SEC. There are a few numbers I thought people might be interested in. Total offense, Brandon currently at 10. The thing that stood out to me was the fact that he's -8 in rushing. I mean, he hasn't brought anything in the run game, and I don't know if they've asked him to. I assume if they had asked him to, he would be at least plus something. Dak Prescott, 725, but he's the best of the best by far. Nick Marshall, 631. And there are other quarterbacks who are minus yardage. Justin Worley from Tennessee, Dylan Thompson from South Carolina. yards per rush, Jonathan Williams now 5. In the SEC at 6.4, Alex Collins 6.3. He is 8th in the league. Pass efficiency. Brandon Allen is currently 9th in the league, just behind Hudson Mason and just ahead of Anthony Jennings of LSU, who has been better at some things than I had anticipated. He's actually number 1 in the league at pass yards per completion, Brandon Harris is. So before you write off LSU's passing game, don't forget to note that he's number 1 and number 2. Anthony Jennings of LSU. So the top two quarterbacks in the SEC are both at LSU as far as yards per completion, 18.1 and 16.5. Brandon Allen is 7th in the league currently in passing yards at just under 200 a game. He is 10th in the league at pass completion percentage. So again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. By any estimation, statistically speaking, you could say something different for the eye test, or he misses throws or does this, that, or the other. He's an average quarterback in the SEC. Better than some, not better than a lot. That's all I got football-wise. We have a
pack, baby.
Question here by Max. Max, go ahead.
Yes, I just want something simple. When will the Buzz do the first basketball broadcast?
We will be carrying the second exhibition game, which is coming up on Thursday next week, November 13th, against Pittsburgh State. It's a 6:30 tip, and actually we'll join it after Brett Bielema's show ends, so we won't get all of it. The first full game will be Alabama State on Sunday, November 16th, which is the first game that actually counts.
Appreciate you, Justin.
You're welcome. Thank you. And that game is yet to be determined as far as tip time.
I can't believe it's so... that Alabama State game?
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 written down. Has it not been confirmed?
Not to my knowledge as of this week. A few things to note, too, if you're looking for some interesting non-conference games to tune in for, many of these will be on television, of course. Wake Forest, Arkansas, playing them on Wednesday, November the 19th. That's an 8 o'clock tip, 7:30 pregame. SMU at SMU, a team that's very talented, certainly very well coached. They made huge strides last year, and they're expected to be extremely good again this year. Of course, Arkansas played SMU last year, and SMU started out with such a great season, and I guess they tailed off a little bit. But
well, they did. You know, this year they had maybe the number one player coming out of high school to sign with SMU, Emmanuel Mudiay, but he backpedaled, decided to go overseas to play professionally.
Good.
This year, so he will not be playing for Larry Brown.
That's a Tuesday game, November 25th, 6:30. December 4th, Iowa State, a game we've talked about a lot because we're going to make the trip up there.
Oh, buddy.
8 o'clock tip, Thursday, December 4th. And then that Saturday, Arkansas travels to Clemson to return the game that the Tigers made to Fayetteville last year. That's a 4 o'clock tip on Sunday, December the 7th, which, of course, is Pearl Harbor Day.
Do we have Larry Bird's birthday. Do we have a sponsor for the trip to Iowa?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Not yet. So if anybody wants any information on that, shoot me an email.
You can be center stage for a couple of days.
I'll let you borrow a few bucks, Pat, if you mention my name.
It'll be a great, great value buy for someone.
No doubt. Thank you very much, Wally. Dynamite drop-in. Are you going to go up? Let's go. I want to show you around Ames. I'll take you to Brett Bielema's favorite. Trey says tip Alabama State at 4 o'clock.
What day is that?
December 4th.
Probably not.
Brett Bielema has been to Ames many times, usually to beat the crap out of the Cyclones when he was a Hawkeye.
What's Ames from Des Moines? How far?
30 miles. Belly Conway.
That's amazing to me.
Anyway, it's a place called Great Plains Pizza that he used to go check out when he was in town. We need to bring Coach B a pizza back.
Anyway.
Not happening. Jesse says, I want to write in to say thank you for speaking about programs around the state other than the University of Arkansas. I know you're a UCA guy. I'm an ASU fan. I think he meant this for Trey and Matt. Anyway, I appreciate your acknowledgement and knowledge of the team. That's tongue-in-cheek, yes. As of now, I think a lot of ASU fans are hoping for the Camellia Bowl in Montgomery with the new Sun Belt tie-in. The GoDaddy Bowl has been great over the past 3 years, but many fans are looking for a change. Of course, there's always hope of a New Orleans Bowl out there. Despite the lost ULL, ASU is right there ready for a fourth straight championship. Go Red Wolves. Jesse in San Francisco listening online. Jesse, thank you very much.
I'd much rather go to Mobile than Montgomery.
I'd much rather go to New Orleans than either, but I'm with you.
Yeah,
Mobile all the way.
I've never been to Montgomery to spend any appreciable time.
I stayed there the weekend of the Auburn game.
Is there anything to do in Montgomery? Is there anything to do in Montgomery?
They have a double-A ballpark there, I think. We always pass it. It's named after someone, like Hank Aaron or somebody.
I'm definitely not going to go
there. There are a lot of Confederate generals there.
I have some breaking news that may be of interest.
Well, let me get you the proper music, Maddie T, and you can drop it like it's hot.
Awesome.
Does that have anything to do with the elections?
It doesn't, but it's similar. Breaking news from the Houston Chronicle. The Texans name Ryan Mallett as their starting quarterback.
All right!
He was elected their starting quarterback.
Sit down, Ragarm Fitzpatrick!
He was elected.
He tweeted yesterday, I'm ready, and then he had to take it down.
Wally, I'm telling you.
That's awesome.
That's good. I don't mind insight there. I was watching highlights of the Houston game on Sunday. I was sitting at Jim's Razorback Pizza, and I'm looking at Fitzpatrick, and I'm thinking, what a rag arm. And I don't care how smart the kid is, Harvard graduate. I don't care how good he's running. The kid is a rag arm. I'm sorry. I'd much rather have Ryan Mallett throwing it to places that doesn't belong at a high velocity than watching this kid float in garbage.
Do they have the receivers?
I don't know. They got one of the best receivers in the league.
You know, the thing you gave
me yesterday. Is Andre Johnson playing?
I don't think. Let me check.
By the way, you get Megatron back this week in Detroit.
You gave me that thing on first down efficiencies. And
oh, Arkansas, shots. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that stood out to this guy was Arkansas's lack of the receivers aren't stepping up like they should.
There is that. Michael Smith, Keith Water, he says.
I heard Brandon Allen just taking a beating yesterday, and I'm sitting there thinking, what receiver does he have that can stretch a defense, stretch a field?
Well, and Sully's pointed out to me, too, and we've watched the games this year. You got one guy that can get himself open pretty regularly, and if he's not open, he'll win a 50-50 ball, and that's Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry, I've been impressed with A.J. Derby. I think he's going to make some money.
No argument.
And this freshman, Jared Cornelius, two big catches Saturday, and we don't see him again.
Yeah. Jeff says, what a bunch of negative, sniveling, disloyal, trifling maggots these critical fans are. Whoa, Jeff. He says, this must be a large part of the beauty of sports wagering, because when you win your bet 7 of 9 times, Arkansas has covered the Vegas number 7 out of 9 times. You think the play calling was fine and the quarterbacking was excellent. And as a side note, how many millions of dollars do you think our wealthy gambling alumni have won this year betting on the Hogs? Even John L. Hunt's probably firing $100,000 per game at him, he says. Money. Pretty good stuff. I don't rip the fans who are critical. You're welcome to it. Although I would say if you bet a bunch of money in Arkansas this year, you would be sitting pretty right now. What's up, John?
On those passing stats for the LSU quarterback,
yep.
What percentage did LSU pass versus run? I think that they run a lot more than other SEC teams, and their completion percentages or distance might be longer. I'll hang up with
it. Yeah, I'm sure they have probably run it significantly more than they have passed it, but they've thrown between the two quarterbacks I mentioned, Harris and Jennings. They've thrown 185 times this year, so not a lot. You know, something else, Wally, I was going to point out is I'm not sure. I have no other reason to believe than it's they can't run the ball against great defenses. But Brandon Allen's averaging over 40 throws per game in the last three SEC games, and he has not thrown it less than 40 times in any of the last three SEC games. I got to think that Brett Bielema is not really pushing for that. That's not really by design. It's a function of the fact that you can't run the ball consistently. Am I crazy?
No, and Tom Murphy had a really good story today about the the running game has just gone really downhill the last three games.
Well, and then that information I gave you the other day from Arkansas Fight, they pointed out that coming up, while everybody respects LSU and Ole Miss and Missouri, their defensive fronts might not be quite as good as the three that Arkansas just faced.
Hey, by the way, Ryan Mallett's going to lose this week because they have a bye week.
All right.
Pick back up November the 16th at Cleveland.
Has a whole other week to get ready, and boy, breaking in against the Cleveland defense is a good way to start.
Yeah. LSU has passed 193 times. They've rushed 438.
Okay, so about a 2-1.
Yeah. Fournette's run 131 times. That's almost as
much as they've thrown total. Yeah. Sean. Larry.
Hey, guys.
Hey, bud.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great.
Hey, I got a couple things. First of all, for the ASU Whiners, come on, y'all been to a bowl game for 3 years straight. I think the Arkansas fan would trade places with you in a hot second. Because if it wasn't too long ago, y'all hadn't been to a bowl game in like an eternity. So, well, you get what I'm saying. I mean, it wasn't real common for them to go to a bowl game. So they ought to at least be happy.
What
they
ASU
are at least going to a bowl game.
I don't know if there are ASU fans whining, but okay.
Well, I mean, they're talking about they don't want to go to the same place that they've been.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I understand what you're saying, too. I'm sure they're satisfied going wherever in the postseason if it came down to it. But if you went to the same, if you went to Liberty Bowl three times with Arkansas in a row, you'd be looking for a different location, wouldn't you?
Well,
yes, Larry. Simple answer is yes, Larry.
Yes, but that's because you're in the SEC and you expect
okay.
Yeah, there's probably a lot more options for an SEC team to
vote.
They're tied into 10, and until the last 2 years, the Sun Belt was tied into 2.
Yeah, they have 3.
Yeah.
And it's 3 now. Before that, it was just 1. The New Orleans Bowl was created for the Sun Belt.
Yeah, so there's not many options, really.
Sometimes even when you're the champion, like ASU was, he didn't get to go to it. So
I'd be pissed only because I love Memphis.
Yeah, I mean,
not in January, late December.
Well, they don't have any oysters left, Pat. We ate them all up the last time we went.
Sort of hard. There was a big complaint.
What was that place? Wenzel's. We met a guy named Mr. Brown.
I like him.
He'd been shucking oysters for 47 years.
But he had a scarred up hand.
He didn't. The guy was money. And he didn't wear a glove or anything. He was a beast.
Really?
Oh, the guy was a pro.
He's shucking with his mouth here.
I don't think he had like an injury in like 40 years.
I went to a place in New Orleans. For some reason, I slipped the guy a Snickers.
What?
For the sitting at the counter.
Mm-hmm.
For the next 20 minutes, he just kept flipping us three oysters.
Where were you?
Felix's?
Dragos? Oh, Felix's.
I've never sat at the Oyster Bar at Felix's. I've been to Felix's many times. But
so you're telling me I should always keep some Snickers in there?
All,
in
oysters are oysters.
Yeah. That's true.
They both have oyster beds.
Oh, there's no point in waiting across the street and having me in line for an hour. I agree with that.
You know where you went wrong.
What's that?
Giving him a Snickers. You should have gotten Butterfinger and he would have got you right in there.
No, there you go. Yeah.
No, I was eating free with Snickers, so
he was doing fine.
The other thing I was going to have is I think you touched on it right before I got on. You can't really blame Ben Allen because the receivers don't catch the ball. I mean, all they can do is get there, and if my eyes are not deceiving me, he's put him in a pretty good spot. His receivers have not helped him at all.
Yeah, I think
so I think that the people out here screaming that they need to get a new quarterback, they need to really sit down and really examine them because it don't really seem like that all they're looking at is one player when it's a team effort. And I don't think he's really getting much effort from his teammates.
I will say the same thing I said last year about the passing game.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of blame to go around.
Absolutely. It's not all. I heard yesterday, he throws it away rather than get sacked because nobody was open.
Or force it into a spot where it doesn't belong.
Right.
Which, again, I mean, I'm not saying there's no blame that you can put on him, but I think there's blame to go around. Anyway, I certainly don't want to get into the quarterback debate again today.
Please, no. What's going on, buddy? We're smooth. I will tell you who is smooth. Sport Clips. I'm making me look smooth as Sport Clips. Some of these guys are aware that Veterans Day is coming up. And thanks to Sport Clips, they've been having for the last couple weeks, and goes through November the 11th, Sport Clips Haircuts in the VFW have partnered to provide scholarships for U.S. service members and veterans through the Help a Hero program. Sport Clips Help a Hero scholarships can help veterans receive the education necessary to succeed in a post-military career. Help a Hero scholarships provide service members and veterans with financial support for a degree or vocational. Go to the website, sportclips.com, to find the location that's nearest and dearest to you. One great thing about Sport Clips is you can go in and get yourself an MVP treatment. No appointment necessary. You can just roll right in. It's good to be a guy over at Sport Clips with a massaging tea tree shampoo, tingles your scalp, precision haircut. And November the 11th, Veterans Day, a dollar from every haircut goes to the Help Hero program. It's the Zone, and we'll be back with Michael Felder, Bleacher Report lead college football writer.
Be prepared the next time severe weather